Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Wigan X. And now get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Financial statements only tell part of the story. We're talking today about intellectual property, and I heard this, no joke, Katie, today. We just certified three people on Monday with the new certification. Super cool. But one of the gentlemen said, Carrie, I exited my business a couple years ago. I didn't know anything about IP back then. The people who bought the business tried to say that the IP really didn't matter. And I sold the company at a much lower rate that I could have sold it for, knowing what I know. He said, if it didn't mean something to them, I could have said, fine, I'll keep it and license it back to you for the next, 20 years. And of course, they wouldn't have gone with it because they saw it as valuable. So I've talked with a lot of people over the last 48 hours, Katie, and I think people are almost waking up to the fact. One gentleman said in the room, I get it. He's like, what is not IP in a company? And would you agree with this? My answer was, anything that doesn't differentiate you is not IP.
Right.
I don't know what you mean about that. But I mean, that was pretty clear to him and pretty bold. But like, yeah, he came in thinking I have zero IP. He left saying, well, what in my company isn't? It makes a ton of sense. And I said, anything that doesn't differentiate you is not IP. So, Katie, let's jump into this today. Probably a lot of CPAs are going to be listening, a lot of business owners. But why are they just oftentimes missing it?
Yeah, they're missing it because they are so ingrained in the technology. And they say, well, there's 25 competitors doing the same thing. But chances are, they're not doing it in exactly the same way you're doing it. And there's probably some very unique aspects in your methodology and your naming that could be very valuable if you were to protect it with IP.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie. I think it's called The Founder, but it's about McDonald's and Ray Kroc. And the McDonald's brothers are doing the burger thing, trying to survive, trying to open a few other ones, struggling. Ray Kroc walks in and his mind is blown. Like I don't understand how they got this food so fast. This is amazing. And he took it to another level. First of all, though, they named it the Speedy Service System. So you might be like, well, they're a burger joint. We're a burger joint. There's another burger joint. We're all the same. Yet McDonald's was able to name the IP, identify it as the first step, protect it, and then monetize it. And so again, even the way and the speed and the positioning of the people to call it the Speedy Service System increased their valuation.
Tremendously. And I think too, a lot of times it's some of the most simple innovations that lead towards the greatest monetization opportunities. So take, for example, Amazon. When they first launched their e-commerce site, they patented the one-click methodology to put something in a shopping cart with the click of a button online. They patented that. And then every e-commerce site that used one-click tech had to take a license to it. So that was, such a simple innovation that drove so much money in licensing fees from it. And, a lot of people probably wouldn't have thought, oh, this is something I should go patent, right? Because it's like silly, it's simple, but a lot of times it's those simple tweaks and changes that lead to the greatest patentability opportunities and the greatest monetization opportunities as well.
Wow. I like that a lot. I'm just going to ask Google, how much did the one click buy?
Yeah, that patent expired. So now it's in the public domain, but it definitely created a lot of revenue streams for the company that otherwise, you know, had they not protected it and patented it and licensed it, they wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Yeah. $2.4 billion per year.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
Right. That's incredible, right?
I mean, it's unbelievable. So that's kind of what you're saying. And I can use that as an example at the Tom Wheelwright event that I'm speaking at to high-level CPAs on July 20th is the day. And that would blow their minds that, hey, this little thing called a one-click buy that isn't even our business, it's a simple way that people, you know, close the deal, check out, is $2.4 billion licensable extra income over 20 years per year.
Right, right. And I think with IP on the balance sheet, where it gets complicated is that because IP is an intangible asset, the value of it depends on the model that you use to value it, right? So, it, you know, for example, maybe you just simply value it based on the spend, you know, that you've put into protecting it. That might give you one valuation. You might use a valuation model like what we call a relief from royalty, where we look at, okay, if you had to take a license on it by virtue of you not being the patent owner, what could we reasonably expect you to have to pay? And how do we value the IP based on that kind of royalty payment? Mm-hmm. So that's another methodology. You could also use, you know, numbers from the Richardson Oliver insights publications on values of patents sold on brokered patent markets. That's going to give you another valuation. But I just bring that up to say how you can drive value in it too is working with somebody who's experienced in valuations, who can kind of help figure out what's the valuation model that makes the most sense and that gives us a reasonably accurate understanding of valuation. And depending on where you are in your company's life cycle, different valuation models and different valuations might make sense. You know, it just depends. If you're just, you know, maybe you're very early stage and you want to get fundraising, probably if you're, you know, still in a stealth mode or still developing a product, the IP isn't super valuable because maybe it's still under examination at the patent office. Maybe you don't have a product yet, so you can't really tie your IP to your product. So, you know, one valuation model there might make sense. Whereas if you are a later stage company looking to exit and you have a targeted portfolio that creates infringement opportunities for your buyer, that's going to be a whole other valuation, right? And that's going to kind of drive up exit value for you, because if you have an infringer or other infringers just out there, that shows there's a real market opportunity for those patents. And so that's going to be, you know, a different type of valuation than somebody who's just early stage looking to leverage some IP to get some investment early on.
So it's almost like if you can prove that it has a use, utility, it becomes much more valuable than theory.
Right, right. Especially too, because, you know, a lot of times your patent portfolio is usually a bit broader than your product, right? And that's done intentionally because you definitely want to cover your product and what you're selling to protect it out there in the marketplace. But you also want to be able to go bigger to block other market entrants and maybe protect things with patents that you yourself as a company aren't doing yet, or you maybe don't have plans for, but that naturally makes sense to protect based on your patent strategy. So a lot of times we kind of talk about the patent portfolio as having a lot of breadth of coverage, meaning it covers a wide swath of different industries, landscapes, opportunities, but then it also has depth of coverage where it has more specific targeted patents. And so that's another way to kind of generate value, is to be able to demonstrate, well, here's some of our patents that tie and protect our product that's out there. And then here's some patents that block others and other features from being able to integrate into our technology, so that a competitor can't come in and just do a workaround and maybe change something and get outside the purview of your targeted patents there.
Dang. Wow. So this is what I was trying to tell a guy last night, was patents are very, it sounds like you just said it, versatile, where it's not just one patent fits all, one patent strategy fits all. Offense, defense, blocking, competitors, valuation. I mean, there's a lot there. And that's why I think an attorney like Katie at Wigan and Dana makes a ton of sense, because we won't get into the specifics for Instant IP, but pre-show we were just talking about our strategy, and we have a whole system and strategy for Instant IP.
Right. And I think it's interesting too how the strategy has evolved over time, as your product has evolved.
Yeah.
As the market has evolved, right? Yeah. Things we were maybe thinking about in patenting a few years ago, we've done that, and now we've kind of gone broader to think about other opportunities down the road as well.
Absolutely. Love it. Well, this was great, Katie. I think it helps a lot. I think I like the one click buy example. As we close today, we got a few minutes left, but what do you know, any other examples that you would say in your, you know, experience, or you know of it, where IP has played a different role? Like, you know, could be, we had our Scotland crew come over back in November or September last year. I think it was September. You know, but any other examples of how IP is being leveraged within different companies that you've worked with?
Sure. I'd say definitely I've seen it leveraged for funding rounds, right? I had a company I worked with that they couldn't get funding, and they had publicly disclosed their invention in a paper years before they came to see me. Huh. So we had to do some targeted patenting around improvements from when the paper was published. And we patented that, and then they all of a sudden got funding. So it was a great opportunity to show why protecting it is such a key de-risking tool for investors, because if your IP isn't secured, investors are not going to feel comfortable or confident investing in your company if the IP can just get stolen, replicated, right? So I think that's a great example of why it's so important from a funding perspective. I'd say another example is definitely in a company sale in an exit, right? I've had a lot of companies that, you know, we create kind of, they have an exit plan. They say, you know, I want to exit in 3 years.
Right.
Let's go build a valuable portfolio to drive up the exit value. And here's, you know, my top five companies I'm thinking of exiting to. How can we create patenting opportunities that maybe fit inside their existing portfolios, create risk for them, right? All different kinds of strategies and techniques based on how we want to kind of drive the end result of the exit there.
Wow. Wow. So it sounds like you just don't jump in and say, hey, I want IP protection. You really need to sit down and say, what's the end goal? And then build strategy toward that.
And what are, you know, what are the company's short-term and long-term goals? Because the IP is going to serve different objectives at different inflection points in the company. So if it's early on, maybe it's just locking down funding, but maybe it's a longer play of I want to exit in 5 years, or, you know, I want to do a collaboration with this party, but I want to make sure all of my IP is locked down and I can identify it as my IP before I enter into this collaboration.
Fantastic. Well, folks, the title says it all. Your balance sheet is missing your biggest asset, the power of intellectual property. Don't let it be missing and identify it, protect it, and leverage it today. Reach out to Katie at Wigan and Dana if you need help with the strategy point. And if you want that first fast layer, get your first free credit at instantip.app. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Brought to you by Instant IP and WiganX. Visit Instant IP today and WiganX.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.